Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're talking for this full hour with Dr. Bill Warner, a serious student of political Islam. In fact, that is the nature of the organization he runs, the Center for the Study of Political Islam. He has helped immensely the rest of us study it and understand it through his often very short, elegantly written, exhaustively researched and cited documents and books, and I really commend them to you. You can find them as PDFs or order them at politicalislam.com. Dr. Warner, one of the groups that has worried me particularly about the cohort of Islamic supremacists is this outfit, the Muslim Brotherhood. Would you talk quickly about who these guys are, what their aspirations are, and how far they've advanced in our own country, unbeknownst to most of us?
The Muslim Brotherhood is a brilliant civilizational war outfit. Muhammad was the greatest genius of war who has ever lived. Other warriors, such as Alexander the Great, have used the sword and the shield in order to bring about political power. What Muhammad did was to bring another concept of war, which I call civilizational war. Civilizational war uses all the elements of a civilization in terms of advancing Islam's cause. I've already mentioned halal food, the demands that in the prison system all food be halal. Well, this is a demand that we submit to Islam. The idea that when a woman is hired to work behind a counter, behind a store clerk office, and then on the seventh day she shows up with a hijab on, this is an assertion of Islamic power, because she's, and the store owner says, wait a minute, you can't wear that. She says, I have to, it is my religion. So therefore, the store now is an outpost for the Sharia dominance. What the Muslim Brotherhood does is to be able to use all so many aspects of the civilization. Textbooks on how history is taught, for an example. They influence that. What they do is they advance Islam without the sword. The jihad of the sword is the only present that Islam gives us, because it's so stunning that we're not able to overlook it. All the other demands, for instance, in the school system in America, has already happened, that the school board says you can't bring your gummy bears and your marshmallows to party time because they contain pork products. Why is that? The Sharia says that that has to happen. So the Muslim Brotherhood advances civilizational warfare, which is absolutely brilliant. It's benign. It seems on its surface all we're doing is, well, okay, we'll do you a little favor. If you need to wear your hijab, okay. But we don't understand that after the hijab will come another demand.
Bill Warner, just to come back to this other sort of what I consider the leading edge of the effort to force us to submit, which is the objective of the Muslim Brotherhood. Indeed, it's the objective of all of the Islamic supremacist groups, the violent ones and the pre-violent ones, namely speech and our curtailing of it. Freedom of speech is, of course, at its core, a constitutional right in this country. But what they are suggesting is we must accommodate effectively Sharia blasphemy restrictions. What is up with that, and how is this being advanced in our country?
Well, it's advanced under the banner of being nice. But let's be clear, freedom of speech is the most fundamental right that we have. Once freedom of speech is gone, you don't have freedom of press. Forget about your guns, that won't matter anyway. You have to have freedom of speech, because this is the very foundation of being able to hold forth in the marketplace of ideas. But what Islam says, and increasingly the left says it as well, is that you may not say anything which is offensive to Islam. Now, by the way, under Sharia, slander consists of saying something that is offensive, whether it is true or not. So therefore, they advance the idea that if facts are uncomfortable, then the facts themselves should not be spoken, because you're not allowed to offend a Muslim for any reason. And both the left and Islam agree that there is no freedom of speech. The ability for a person to criticize Islam is called blasphemy. And so, therefore, I am a blasphemer. Now, here's the bad thing. A blasphemer can be killed. And I'm not fond of that idea, Frank, that I could at least be killed because of just voicing an opinion. Now, what the left does, they chime right in. I've never had anyone disagree with my logic. What they say is I'm a racist, hater, bigot, Islamophobe. So this is an attempt to pound me down well, they're saying I'm an immoral person, if I quote Muhammad. So the freedom of speech is the most valuable right we have because it's the cornerstone, and it's trying to be taken away from us by the left and by Islam.
Yeah, and as we were talking about earlier, Bill Warner, that's so bizarre because the people who are really, you know, sort of pillars of the left are among those who would be put to the knife first if these Sharia adherent guys had their way. And the thing that is so appalling and frightening and really dangerous about this campaign against freedom of expression is that it keeps us witless about the enemy. The less we can talk about it, the less we can know about it, the more certain is our defeat, it seems to me.
Why is it that we're not supposed to have knowledge of what's in the Quran? Why is it that we're not supposed to have knowledge of what's in the Sharia? Or it's okay if we have knowledge as long as we don't say anything that's critical. Well, pardon me. When it comes to the Quran and it advocates wife beating, I stand against wife beating. I don't care if Allah says you can beat your wife. And, of course, the Sharia says you can beat your wife. And the Hadith says you can beat your wife. I speak against all these things, and because I do so, the left says I'm a hater, bigot, racist, Islamophobe. I mean, it's a bizarre world, and yet it works. There are many people who will not speak their mind because they're afraid of being called a racist, hater, Islamophobic bigot.
Yeah. And you know, Bill, as an example, just one of myriad, is the neighbors of the shooters in the San Bernardino attack.
Oh, yeah.
Who saw people behaving in a very suspicious manner, going into the garage of their Muslim neighbors at all hours of day and night with boxes and the like. And they chose not to say anything for exactly that reason. They were fearful of being described as Islamophobes or haters and bigots. And let me just ask you, Bill Warner, as you've done your studies quite comprehensively now of the Quran, this is, again, part of the civilization jihad or civilizational warfare that Muhammad has, is the perfect Muslim laid out for everyone to follow. And yet what's most alarming about this, and I think what makes the Brotherhood so insidious, is it's been bought into, unfortunately, not just by the left, but even, as you mentioned, to some extent, by the George W. Bush administration. I remember the president famously saying Islam is a religion of peace and not being willing to countenance any factual challenge to that.
You know, it's interesting. When I was young, Frank, I thought that facts and truth would prevail. But I'll tell you what, it's difficult to get facts and truth to prevail because people are so afraid of it. One of the most frequent questions I'm asked, and then, by the way, apologists will do this. Apologists for Islam will talk with me a little bit and then hear what I have to say, and then they'll look at me and go, aren't you afraid? Now, think about this. Here's a person who doesn't consider themselves to be a leftist, but a progressive, a Hillary voter, and they can see that I've got maybe something to say that seems to have some facts about it, but then they turn right around and say, although Muslims are nice people, aren't I afraid? So it's, we live in a turned around world, I'll tell you that, but one of the things the left needs to understand a little bit is history. In Iran, Khomeini was brought to power not just by the Islamists, but also the Communist Party, Tudor Party. 5 days after Khomeini came to power, he issued death warrants for all of the left Tudor Party members. So this is just a historical restatement about those who are the biggest defenders of Islam will be its first victims when Islam comes to power.
This is a prime example of it. It's drawn from the pages of history. Bill, we have to pause for just a moment. I just would say, with respect to this question of are you afraid, you're supposed to be afraid. That is the object of the violent kind of jihad, and what makes this sort of partnership between the so-called nonviolent Muslim brothers and their counterparts in the Islamist.
Let's talk about fear when we come back.
Well, let's do that, and we'll be also talking about what Donald Trump should do about all this right after the break. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.